This episode of La Verdad Podcast is brought to you by our friend Sonia Figueroa of CSonia.com.
You know, Christian, there are times when I'm handing over my rent money that I'm like, man, how much money have I thrown away?
It's true, Vife. You know, you want this sense of independence and you move out and find an apartment and everything seems great until you realize how much money you're just giving away to someone else.
I know, man. Purchasing a home has definitely been on my mind a lot lately. And I just have so many questions. You know, they don't teach you these things in school.
Well, thankfully, Sonia Figueroa is here to help. She's an expert when it comes to purchasing a home, especially for first-time buyers like you.
Check out our chica, Sonia Figueroa, at csonia.com. That is www.sesonia.com. And find her on all social media platforms to get started on your journey towards becoming a homeowner. That's true independence.
And mi gente, ella habla español.
You're now listening to La Verdad Podcast. Bueno, mi gente, we're back at it again with another episode of La Verdad Podcast, and this is your host, Christian. And for today's episode, it was a little bit of a different episode. If you're listening from far away, if you're listening from perhaps within the United States, you have realized that Puerto Rico has been hit really hard. Not only Puerto Rico, but Mexico as well. So Puerto Rico was hit by a hurricane that has devastated the whole island. Mexico actually got hit by a earthquake that hit Mexico City and surrounding areas. So two of our main Latino population, I want to say, here in the United States has been hit hard in the last couple of days. For today's episode, I was able to get on a call with a community organizer, community builder, over in New York City. His name is George Torres. He goes by Urban Jibaro. George has actually been part of the show in the past where we talked about social media and being an influencer. But this time he sat down with us and he kind of gave us some insights of what's going on in New York. What are they doing to organize? What relief efforts they have and what you could do to help. Some of the things that we talked about was what you could do to help, self-care. Since he is running around, he was talking about perhaps visiting a therapist to talk about what it is that's happening. Here at La Verdad, we actually do have in plans and in works to do a podcast in regards to, life after a hurricane, what to do, what to say to your loved ones. But with this particular conversation, we talked a lot about different things that are happening. So what I wanted to ask was, and you might hear it in the beginning of the conversation, it might be a little bit bad in audio, and I apologize about that. He was actually on his way to another volunteer effort. But what you're going to hear in the podcast is that, you know, the different locations that you could go and help if you're in the New York City area, if you're in the LA area. I do want to give you guys a couple of networks and organizations that are doing things here in the Chicagoland area, since we do have a big amount of listeners and hashtag Verdaderos that are listening from Chicago area. But I also wanted to encourage you to go ahead and like and share this particular episode. There might be a lot of people listening to us within the diaspora. There might be a lot of people listening to us within the United States, even Japan. We have a lot of our diaspora out there as well, who might want to know what's happening in Puerto Rico, might want to hear what we're doing and what we're working on. So please go ahead and like and share. You know, if you have any questions, if you want to view any of our content, you could go over to our website, which is www.laverdadltd.com, or you could find us on your favorite social media out there, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, as @laverdadltd. As of right now, this episode is airing on Thursday, which will be Thursday, September 28th. And we do have a fundraiser going on to help our brothers and sisters over in Mexico and Puerto Rico. And the fundraiser is a t-shirt fundraiser, actually, with a famous quote that my grandmother used to always say. Whenever things were bad, whenever things were going wrong, she would always say, or whenever things seemed like it was really impossible and hard to do, she would always say, ¿Quién dijo miedo? Right? It was kind of like her motto. And that model, and that has become my model as well. So the shirt is actually a black t-shirt with white font, and it says Quien Dijo Miedo in the front of it. A black t-shirt, we're actually selling it on our website, www.lavil.ltd.com. You could go ahead and click on apparel, products, and you can see that. Or you could go into our Instagram or Facebook, and you'll see the link available there. The shirt is $30, mi gente. Not too expensive. I know a lot of t-shirts out there could be $20, or a lot of t-shirts out there could be $50, $60 limited edition. We're only selling this t-shirt till Friday. It is $30. All profits of each one of the sales is going to go towards Mexico and Puerto Rico. So please go ahead and share that. By the time this podcast launches, I want to be able to say that we have reached our goal. Right now, we're at 28% of our goal, almost 30% of our goal. Our goal is 50 shirts, mi gente. 50 shirts that we want to sell in order for us to be able to have a decent amount of money to send over. I mean, any little bit helps, any little bit counts. If you don't want a shirt, perhaps just buy one, give it to your neighbor. If you just want to donate, we also have a donation link. But I wanted to mention that the money is actually going towards the Puerto Rican Agenda, which is an organization here in Chicago. They've been around since 1995. They do all types of works with the Puerto Rican community in and outside of the diaspora. I did want to mention that they were able to raise $70,000 starting on the Friday. So the hurricane happened on Wednesday. They got together on Friday with a day's notice. They got together and created an amazing event. They had $70,000 donated. They've already sent a plane over to Puerto Rico. They're working on sending another plane out there. So if you have any questions, if you wanted to donate directly to them, you could go onto Facebook and search the Puerto Rican Agenda. You could even go onto Google as well and put the Puerto Rican Agenda. You could go onto their website, or you could go onto their fundraising website as well. You could go on to BoricuaHumanRights.org, which is the organization that's helping them out as well. They're actually taking donations in as well. If you're in the Chicago area and you want to volunteer, perhaps you don't have any money, but you just want to lift, use your muscles, do what you need to do. The Casa Puerto Riqueña, which is located in California on California Street Avenue, which I will also put in a description and also put in a link to them. They're taking in help. I think the donations ended today, Wednesday, but they're taking in help, volunteer help to put things on pallets so that they can send them over directly to Puerto Rico via truck to Florida, perhaps, or to the airport, and then on another plane to Puerto Rico. So anything and everything helps right now. The organization that we're working with in Mexico is Topos, which is a reputable organization. I know there's been a lot of claims out there of scams here and there, all these things. But we have actually, you know, we vetted these organizations. We want to make sure that the money is going to actual causes and not rich CEOs, etc. So all of these are grassroots organizations that are going to help and the people directly. And the money is going to go directly to the people. So for right now, I do want to say, you know, this next conversation was a quick phone call conversation that I had with George Urban Jibaro Torres. And here we go. Bueno, mi gente, we're back at it again with another episode of La Verdad Podcast, and this is your boy Christian. We definitely been having an eventful week. I want to say the last couple of days, we've all been nonstop. For those of you that are listening from perhaps the East Coast, the West Coast, you guys know what's going on. There's a lot of commotion going on. A lot of our leaders are everywhere and they're running around. So I want to kind of cut the introduction short. Before we go into the episode, I do want to say, please go ahead and share this episode. There's going to be a lot of information that's going to be beneficial to our people. And by our people, I mean our patria, our people over in Puerto Rico who are suffering right now. So if you have a quick second, please go ahead and like and share this particular episode so that the information goes across all the different platforms. So with us today, we've had him in the show before. He's a big community organizer over in New York. He's also influences of La Verdad Podcast, and we have George Torres. You might know him as Urban Jibaro. How's it going, man?
It's going, brother. It's going at a fast pace.
When I was talking about earlier, I'm like, everybody's so busy. All the leaders are all busy. This is what I mean. George is taking this call on his way, doing logistics over in New York right now. He's stuck in traffic. He was able to get on the call for at least 15 to 20 minutes to talk about some of the stuff that's happening. So I wanted to thank you, bro. Thank you so much for taking this time, this opportunity to enlighten some of the people who perhaps don't know what's going on or don't know how to help.
Absolutely.
A lot of times, one of the things, George, that I've noticed in our podcast is that we've been getting a lot of listeners who perhaps don't know too much about the Puerto Rican culture or might not know exactly. I know someone came up to me the other day and they were like, hey, man, I didn't know what Boricua meant till I listened to your podcast. So I think we're putting our little granito de arena right then and there. So with that being said, I know that there was a couple of things going on. For those of you who have been watching the news, Puerto Rico was hit by a massive hurricane. Right now it's, you know, quote unquote, people are calling it a humanitarian crisis. It is a humanitarian crisis. There's people without water for, I want to say, 6 days now, without water, without light. I barely got into communication with my family a couple days ago. George, were you able to communicate with your family?
So, yeah, so my family is all accounted for. Thankfully, I have a whole lot of friends. Specifically people who are community builders and environmentalists that are missing in action, unfortunately.
Yeah, it tends to be the same thing. I have a lot of friends who are, you know, artists, musicians that I've performed with in the past that I haven't heard from, unfortunately. There's also some type of, we're working on trying to contact all the people that we know little by little. But as I mentioned, you know, a lot of people in Puerto Rico are going through a crisis right now, the aftermath of this hurricane. And there's been a lot of relief efforts within some of the major cities, for example, New York City, Chicago. I've seen some relief efforts over in the West Coast as well, like L.A. So George is actually doing a lot of work over in the New York area. So I want to give you a little bit of time, and if you could inform us on some of the breaking news that you have, some stuff that we definitely want our listeners to know about.
Okay, so I'm going to start off by saying I'm working currently with initiatives in Florida, New York, Arizona, L.A., or California, and I'm missing one. Where am I missing? And Philly. Okay, but I'm going to talk about the overarching ones, the ones that really have the national, national reach. So the first thing I want to say is that the Puerto Rican Family Institute here in New York, the website's prfi.org, they started a fundraising drive immediately after Hurricane Irma, and when they started taking in stuff, when Hurricane Maria hit, they started getting calls from people that were frantically looking for their family that couldn't get through to the phones of the Puerto Rican Federal Affairs, PRAFA. Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening was the leadership at Puerto Rican Family Institute reacted by almost taking a census of everybody who was calling in, who they're calling in for, where they're located at, so they can match it up with stuff that PRAFA is actually working on the ground in Puerto Rico to get. So they're going to match those lists up and hopefully contact some family members, let people know who's okay and who's not, things of that nature. So right now, the call to action for New Yorkers that are listening to the podcast, is we need bodies in the call center that's operating from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, and on the weekends up to 5 o'clock. And that's not a real solid time either. They've been leaving much later, but we're trying to constrict it a little bit. They have, not only have they been taking this information and talking to people, they've also had therapists on staff. So they're dealing with the mental health crisis that's happening as a result of the people who are frantically anxious and not reaching their families. We're also getting calls from people who are, and I say we because I just joined the family for pretty much in the last couple of hours. We also have calls from people in the island that are saying, if somebody doesn't come here now, we're going to die. So there's very... I'm gonna cry again. It's a lot to deal with. Being in the call center is definitely, you know, and then one of the most beautiful things that's happened, and I gotta talk about the beautiful things that are happening amidst all this, is that a lot of the people that we've comforted over the phone through the crisis line have actually come in to actually help. Mm-hmm. In some way, shape, or form, whether it's comforting other people or whatever. So there's been a good amount of healing in that room. In addition to that, the whole first floor is dedicated to processing donations. So we have trucks coming in and out, and we're palletizing all the stuff, getting ready for to ship it out. So the good news is we have a cruise company, and I think it's Royal Caribbean, if I'm not mistaken. Royal Caribbean has donated freight space for us down in Fort Lauderdale. And we just got a donation from Yale University in Connecticut for 12,000 pounds, 6 tons of medical supplies that we need to transport to Fort Lauderdale. So a big call to action right now for people listening to the podcast is if anybody has connections with transportation companies or other companies that have their own transportation, for example, we reached out to Goya, for example. We're reaching out to Jetro, which is a big distribution place for bodegas here in New York. We're reaching out to anybody who has trucks to see if they could actually underwrite this. We're also reaching out to other cruise ships that actually leave from New York and Jersey to see if they could actually give us the space instead, and then we could redirect Orlando supplies to that Royal Caribbean ship that's down in Fort Lauderdale, which makes more sense logistically, right?
Yep.
So that's what we're dealing with here in New York. We need bodies to help process, because now we're getting donations at such a rate that we're not able to pack them up fast enough for the trucks, and the trucks are obviously being donated, so it's been tough. You know, people are using their personal vehicles. We have Uber drivers that are, like, giving us their SUVs. And, you know, we're doing as much as we can on that front. So that's important.
And what type of donations are you guys currently accepting?
So there's two things happening. I'm also working loosely with the governor's office here in New York, and he just put out a major initiative that included announcements from Jennifer Lopez and A-Rod, where they Jennifer Lopez donated $1 million, for example, out of her Vegas show proceeds to help the initiative. And she's also putting together with A-Rod a major celebrity event here in New York that combines sports figures, other celebrities that they're friends with. Mark Anthony's also in the co-production team for that. Mm-hmm. So that's one piece. Rosie Perez was involved as well in another initiative. We have Lugo from the Mets. I'm not even sure what his first name is. I met him the other day. He's actually doing efforts on behalf of the Mets. Mark Cuban donated 2 planes of supplies to bring down there. I know that the Steinbrenners and the Yankees have a whole other initiative that they're doing, and they made all of their games of drop-off points for donation supplies. So the donations that the New York State is focusing on, the 5 priorities, I think it's 5. It's water, non-perishable food, medical, cot, generators. And I'm sorry, and flashlights and batteries.
Okay.
Those are the 6 things that they're like prioritizing over everything. So we're literally, we have the Jacob Javits Center as one of the drops. There's several across the city. You can go to my website, sofritofrioso.com. The last 2 updates on the site have all this information I'm telling you right now, all the links to donate cash, to be able to donate your goods. So Jacob Javits Center, part of Jacob Javits Center has been donated to New York State to process all these donations as well, and to ship them out to JetBlue, who donated $1 million worth of freight. So that's the second initiative that I'm working on, right? There's also an initiative out in Arizona where they're shipping, where they're literally driving stuff down to Fort Lauderdale, similar to what we were trying to do with the medical supplies. So there's a lot of different things happening. There's a concert that I'm working on. There's 2 concerts I'm working on. One in New York with one of the freestyle legends in promotion, Victor Bruno. He's putting something together at Barclays Center, and then I'm doing something in LA with Jenko Chaviano, and we're putting something together that's going to be probably a little bit more high end with celebrities. But there's a lot of action happening. There's donation drives all over the city. Every city office, fire departments are taking in donations. I mean, there's a massive. I've never seen the diaspora move at this speed.
Exactly.
To tell you, we had a big event last night at La Marqueta with the speaker of the of New York City, the councilwoman, Melissa Mark Vividito. We had Capicu was involved. Sofrito Friosol was involved. We had Gina Valentin. We had La Bruja. We had Camaradas del Barrio was part of it. I mean, we had a major, major collective last night come together on a city block in New York in La Marqueta and put together the most amazing show. But not only a show, but a show, a place that we could actually comfort each other. I mean, I broke down when I saw the overwhelming response of people just walking in with bags and boxes. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
It's definitely an overwhelming feeling here in Chicago. We were blessed to be able to be a part of a big fundraising effort that we had last weekend, which was on Friday night. and we were able to collect over $70,000. That was, you know, big props to the Puerto Rican Agenda here in Chicago, who was also on the...
Yeah, definitely.
We had a... It was, like, back-to-back with some of our brothers and sisters over in New York City, helping us out as well, kind of, like, plugging it for all the resources that they had here in Chicago. So it's definitely, like you mentioned, you know, seeing the diaspora move and show the love has been overwhelming. I did want to ask, you know, it's you've been running around, you've been doing so much, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people that are listening to this show right now that are probably running around trying to figure out, are their parents okay, what can I send, what can I do? But we always have to remember to self-care, right? So I just wanted to make sure that you're taking care of yourself out there. But also for those who are in the call center, is there something for those people that are sitting there to make sure that they're also being, you know, quote unquote, self-care?
Yeah, so amazing question. And I have to tell you, and I'm going to be completely transparent right now, that the purpose, I mean, I've been coordinating stuff with a lot of different people over the phone and over video chat. And the reason why I went to the building today, to the Puerto Rican Family Institute, was to actually see a therapist.
Yeah.
So I needed to. I've been very overwhelmed with emotion. Yesterday was horrible for me from the emotional perspective. Like I said, I was at the event. I was overwhelmed by what was happening. But, you know, I'm to a certain level, my role in this community here and what I've done over the years has put me in a situation where I'm very empathetic and I feel people's pain. Uh-huh. You know, I'm an empath in that sense. So I was very overwhelmed yesterday, and I called my friend Jose Gutierrez, who's the person, my contact over at Puerto Rican Family Institute, who's also a board member of the National Puerto Rican Day Parade, who I work with very closely. And she told me, she's like, we have therapists here. And she literally had me, like, come right in and actually talk to somebody who was amazing. So that, and I'm actually going to commit to actually seeing her every week. Necessary. I need it, and I'm not afraid to say that. And I think that anybody who, you know, I know that Acacia Network, for example, in Chicago has a bunch of different places where you can get these same types of services. So what I would task you with, Christian, and you always ask me how I can help, and I'm going to task you with putting together a list of mental health resources in Chicago to distribute to your people in the diaspora that are on the front lines, because that is huge. Like, I can't even tell you, I'm so better prepared to talk to you right now than I was 3-4 hours ago.
Most definitely.
So this is a big piece of the puzzle. And I've been talking about it for days, and it's because I really wanted to have a conversation with somebody, and not somebody who's hurting like I am. And that was really important for somebody who could actually be neutral and just kind of like help me work through the coping mechanisms that I need to work on. So there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing whack about being in self-preservation mode and making sure that you're equipped to actually help people. You know, you can't help people if you can't help yourself. I want you to think about every single time that you've ever gotten on a plane, and when they give you the whole speech about the airbags, not the airbags, the life preservers and whatever, and the air mask for oxygen. The first thing they tell you is, if you're with a young child or elderly person, to make sure you put your mask on first, so that you can help everybody else. So you have to take that same approach as a community builder. You have to take that same approach and say, you know what? I can't help these people if I can't help myself. So self-care is a big piece of it. I'll definitely write more about it as time goes on. But right now, we need to really take care of the people that are on the island. I also want to address something that's really important, in my opinion, is that we have so many people that want to go to the island right now. They're just really eager to get boots on the ground and whatever, and they don't understand that we're still in recovery mode. Mm-hmm. I mean, 40% of the island is unaccounted for, and it's 3.5 million people. So I want you to really think about the massive... I mean, let's put it in... I'm sorry, I'm backing up. My car is bugging out. So let's put it into perspective, right? 9/11 happened here in New York, and when 9/11 happened, we were looking for roughly, what, 2,000, 3,000 people? In 9/11, in a small contained area, we have a 100 mile by 50 mile island that has 3.5 million people, and we can't reach almost more than half of them.
Wow.
We don't know what's happening in those towns. We don't know if there's people fighting over resources. We don't know if people are under mudslides. We don't know. We don't know what's happening there. So to have more people come on the island and that don't know the terrain and actually put themselves in harm's way and actually use up emergency resources that could be used to recover people who have been 6 days, 7 days without water and food, it doesn't seem right to me. So I want to really urge people, unless you have family and you already have the structure in place and you're going someplace that already has a plan, If you're just going over there to kind of wander around, one, you're putting yourself in danger, because if you have a bottle of water, you're a target.
Yep.
And that's just human nature, right? Am I off on that?
No, you're correct. And it's been one of the things that we've been kind of bringing up a lot lately, because there's, you know, it, automatically, uno se desespera, right? You go through this, like,
exactly.
See how my family's doing. And to go, so first of all, you know, the biggest thing that I've been telling people is the whole self-care. And then second of all is, hey, you know, there's people in place right now that are going over there that know exactly what they need to do. You know, a lot of times, too, I also want to mention, we have to kind of detach ourselves from social media a little bit. Because it gets overwhelming when we see the negative stuff coming out little by little.
So what I want to say about that, and I said it the other day, and it came off a little abrasive, and I know some people gave me some feedback. And I wasn't saying not to pray or whatever, but I have an issue with what I call slacktivism. And what I mean by that is, I mean people who think that a meme or sharing a ribbon or whatever is going to address an issue of this magnitude. It's not. You know, that's that bandwidth and that noise could be quelled down so that we could actually anchor information that's going to actually help people.
Exactly.
Thank so I don't, you know, I'm personally a little annoyed about all the memes and everything that are going around. There'll be plenty of time for that. You know, but right now we need to get information out. We need people to donate. We need people to volunteer. We need people to do anything that they can to help people and impact their lives. And none of those things are actually going to help. You know, it makes you feel good in the moment, I guess, when you send it out. And that's it, you know. But, you know, we need more than prayer right now. We need people to stand up.
Exactly.
So that's my overarching message for those of you out there. And the other thing, too, is there's a lot of sharing of information. And I get it. There's a lot of popular people on social media, and they have great followings and whatever, and they go on rants about FEMA and everything. This is not the time for that. It's not making a difference. You know how you can make a difference right now? I'm going to tell you how you can make a difference. You can go out there and join Unidos for Puerto Rico, my friend Alita Tellado and Christy Marrero. They're working diligently to make sure they raise the question of whether or not the president is going to actually lift the Jones Act so that ships that want to come from other countries and bring us relief can actually get to the ports. They want us right now to send ships to the United States to unload them, to load them on a U.S. ship to bring them back. Mm-hmm. And people are dying. I mean, you know, I hate to say it this way. We don't know what's happening over there, but I promise you, somebody out there is dying. Mm-hmm. Because they don't have what they need. They don't have food and water. So we have to think about that. So right now, the biggest thing that your listeners could do, that everybody could do, no matter what corner of the world they're in, if they're listening to your podcast, is go out there and tweet Unidos for Puerto Rico is the hashtag. Join Laurita Tellado and Christy Marrero and a whole bunch of influencers from the Hispanicized Network, Dime Media, etc. And go out there and just support that movement. Make sure that the news, the media hears that we're demanding to have this law lifted. They didn't do this to Florida. They didn't do this to Texas.
Exactly.
Texas got the aid. Puerto Rico's literally the size of Connecticut, right? And there's 3.5 million people. Do you think that if Connecticut was underwater right now, that there would be this hesitation of the president to even do a flyover of the island and assess the damage? He's saying he's going to be there next week. And I said something I had an interview yesterday with the New York Times, and my quote was, he's worried about people that are on one knee that can get up and not worried about people that are on both that can't.
Exactly.
And I really mean that. Like, you know, like the stuff that he puts importance on is crazy. And I've never been one to criticize politically, but this is insane. This is insane. The things that he finds important and the things that he actually bogs the news cycles down with is ridiculous.
This is a
very stark reminder. And again, I'm getting very political, and this is like the inner me that's always existed coming out. But it's a stark reminder of how we fit into the whole U.S. the big picture. We're a colony. We're a colony, and we're not respected. We have an infrastructure. We're literally, this storm has put us exactly where we were 89 years ago when the last big storm like this hit.
Yep.
Puerto Rico right now is in 1928.
Yep.
The infrastructure is destroyed. With the exception of a little bit of Wi-Fi and some electricity, we're in 1928 right now. The island has no connection to the outside world other than than New York State right now. New York State is right now doing the most. New York State is doing the most right now. They're actually doing what other agencies should be doing and are not doing. Yes. So, I mean, I could rant about this forever, man. So I guess ask me some questions. Ask me questions that you think are going to shape the conversation and get your people to move into action.
No, it's one of those things where I wanted to get your viewpoint, being that you do have that you're doing a lot in the community right now. And I wanted to get some of those points across. You know, we talked about it. You know, how can they help? What can you do to help yourself? You know, what is there? What is happening right now? Where can you go? So I think you mentioned a lot of those already. I did want to ask, as far as the call center that you're helping out at, is it just bilingual? Are they taking just English speakers?
No, it is bilingual. Everybody at PRFA is pretty much bilingual. If there's somebody that's volunteering, obviously that doesn't speak Spanish, there's plenty of people on hand. When I tell you that there's literally like 10 people at a table on the phones, and there's another 10 people outside making sure they're okay, that they get water, food, that, you know, anything, that they take breaks or whatever. So there's plenty of people on board cycling out. Where we really need the people right now is in the first floor where we're processing all the donations. You know, because the other thing, too, is that we have to be very careful. People give us a pallet of stuff. We have to break down the pallet and make sure the pallet doesn't have anything that it shouldn't have. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, there's not anything that any contraband or anything like that, because we're giving this stuff to airlines, and we're giving. So we have to make sure we have to do a security check. I mean, the airport and the port will do their own security check, but we need to make sure that we take everything over there and we know what's in there. So that's a big piece of it. So we need people on the ground to do that, man. And that's just in New York. I'm sure that you have other organizations out there that need similar things. But right now, this is the biggest, besides New York State's effort, Puerto Rican Family Institute is probably the biggest organization right now that I've seen have something that's in place working with logistics intact and everything.
Yeah, and I'll definitely share later on once I add a little extra audio to this podcast. I'm going to go ahead and share some of the Chicago networks that are doing things for Puerto Rico, so that if you're in the Chicagoland area, you could go ahead and help as well. But I wanted to ask George, as far as, okay, we're getting stuff over to Puerto Rico, I'm assuming San Juan. What's happening there? I know there's been a lot of talks about the stuff just sitting there. Is that just fluff? Is that just people talking, bochinchando, or is that actually what's happening? And if that is something that's happening right now, what can we do over in the diaspora to get that moving faster?
So the big issue is that the commercial airlines that have donated freight space are coming in a very dangerous situation. There's no there's no radar in Puerto Rico right now. So that's something that has been severely underreported in the news. There's no radar. So what's happening right now is Caribbean air traffic control is basically stopping all air traffic in the area of the path to Puerto Rico for half an hour at a time to allow planes to get in safely, because they have to fly in blind. Mm-hmm. So that's a big piece. So they're only allowed, right now we only have capacity to get 10 planes in from the commercial side of things. And then the military planes are coming in a little bit heavier because they have their own radar and they fly above the commercial threshold, right?
Okay.
And so that's one piece of it. The second piece of it is the airport is severely battered, so there's limited capacity in terms of runways. And then the big concern with a lot of people, and I get it, and it's one of my biggest concerns, is that there's a lot of people who are not able to, the transportation, and there's a limited range of how far they can go. So what really has to happen is helicopters are going to have to start going to different parts of the island. I'm not clear on if that's happening or if it's, you know, or if it's even in plans yet. So, yeah, so right now, as it stands, yeah, the metropolitan area is actually the port to receive the stuff in, but I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of campos and a lot of places that are unreachable right now that they haven't been able to get to. And I haven't heard of anything having to do with an airdrop at all. For example, Loíza Aldea is right outside. I grew up in Loíza. It's a very underserved community. It's right next to San Juan. It's not far at all. You could almost walk there if you have enough time in a day from Carolina. And that area is completely isolated from the metropolitan area, and they're literally a couple of miles away.
Exactly.
So you have to think about that. There's no, you know, I it's funny. I'm actually sitting here right now in front of Sapitos and La Fonda Boricua, and there's a van. A dude just came with a van packed, And he's unloading right now. He's unloading. His van is completely everything. Even the passenger seat is completely full with product.
So, hey, I'm not going to take up too much of your time. I know that you're out there volunteering right now, and I'm sure they need your help. So I wanted to say thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us. We're definitely going to have to sit down and have a little bit more of a deeper conversation, un poquito más con calma, but right now is a call to action. And I thank you so much for coming in and talking to us.
Absolutely. And one last thing. If you want updates, we're doing nightly updates on sofritofrioso.com. So just, you know, just go to the website and you'll see. No. I'm sorry about that. So we're, the guy's asking me if I'm leaving so he can unload the truck. So go to sofritofrioso.com. There's two major updates on there. One has a bunch of information about all the different charities that have pledged 100% of their proceeds to the cause in Puerto Rico. I also am working with Acacia Network here in New York to find organizations on the ground that are going to go into those underserved communities like Luis Aldea. And I have a friend from Puerto Rico coming in, Jaime Montoya from Vive Borinquen, who is actually going to come over here to do logistics to figure out how we're going to help with that process over there. So I expect to be in Puerto Rico within the next 2 weeks once the roads are a lot more clear and there's some gas on the island and stuff like that. Like I said, I'm not going to put myself in danger because I can't help anybody if I'm there. Right now, what I'm doing right now is the best I could do. Is just make sure I'm the bridge to the information, being that I'm working with so many different agencies with my team, and just making sure you guys have the right info so you could act accordingly and impact.
Unfortunately, at that moment, the conversation ended with George. It was a little bit of a shaky connection, but like I mentioned earlier in the beginning of the podcast, I am going to put up all the information as far as volunteer locations, drop-off locations, and what is actually happening in the island in the description of this podcast. If you want to find out more information, feel free to go over to George's website, sofritoforyoursoul.com, or hit up laveldadltd.com for more information. Like, share, promote this website, promote this podcast, excuse me, for all of us. Once again, God bless and peace.